And I'm about as surprised as anybody else that I'm preaching today, so bear with me a minute, and we'll get straightened out here. But the Lord's good, amen? We ought to always be ready to preach, and while I'm thinking about where I'm going, I'll share with you, we did have a great day. The Lord blessed us. We went over to Fremont, North Carolina, and started a new work. And me and my wife and four people went over, and we found a building. The Lord had been pressed that building upon my heart, but an old church building. It was built before 1880. Sitting on Main Street in town, nobody had church in it in 3 years. And I found out that the Free Will Baptist Association owned it. And I went to them and said, I'd like to start an independent King James Bible preaching church. And so they rented the building to us, amen. And man, they rented it to us for $400 a month. And it had pews and hymn books and two pianos and offering plates and the communion ware. I mean, when they left, folks, they left, amen. And they left it all there for us, and the Lord preserved it for about 3 years. And so the short story is God's good, amen. And we bought the building. We paid for it, amen. We're debt free, and the Lord's blessed us to be able to do that. And we just had a big day this past Sunday. We had our friends and family day. We had 108 people, and we had two saved Sunday morning, amen. So praise the Lord for that. Take your Bibles and open up to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want to thank Brother Ennis for this meeting. It's always a blessing, and we're glad to be able to be here. And he's certainly been a blessing to us there at Cross Point Baptist Church, an encouragement to us. And I believe everything ought to be done under the local church. Amen. And when I got ready to start the work, I came to Brother Ennis and asked him, could we start as a mission work of Fellowship Baptist Church? And they granted us that, and the Lord blessed tremendously. Amen. And 1 Peter, if you would, please. And a text that you'll know well. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 6, and the Word of God says this, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. That's enough. We could stop right there and shout, amen. And verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. If there's one thing that we need to understand, is that the devil is real. Amen. The devil is real. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray you'd help me today. Lord, I want to do what it is you would have me to do here. Lord, I know there are men that could do a much better job, but for some reason you saw fit to place me here. Lord, I ask that you would use me now. I ask for Holy Spirit power and unction. May I be an encouragement to God's people today. And if there be one in our midst that's lost, may today be that day of salvation. I ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse 8 is giving us a very real warning. Listen, God cares about his children. Verse 7 says he careth for you. Amen. And that's a shouting verse to know that God cares for us. But the reason he's given us verse 8 is because he cares about us. He's letting us know that the devil is real, and we need to be aware that the devil is all around and there's danger all around us. This verse gives us a clear warning about the attack of Satan. The devil is most effective when we begin to think that he's not there. Amen? And we're living in a world today that wants to scoff and laugh and mock at those of us that know that the devil is real. They want to make us out to be some kind of idiots or something, you know, because we believe that. And he's having so much control over the world today. I understand lost people. I understand unchurched people believing that there is no devil. That's convenient, isn't it? But you know what I found out? I've been doing some reading and studying, and I'm finding out in churches all across our land, they deny that the devil is real. There are people that call themselves preachers standing in pulpits. And by the way, there's a lot of people standing in pulpits that have not been called by God to preach the word. Amen. They've got a profession. They've got a job, but they've not had a calling. Amen. And those are the kind of people that will fail to preach on the devil. Amen. I'll say this. I read this survey. I think it was by Barna. I don't have the exact numbers. I had them down at one time, but I remember they were saying that they did the survey, and how many, this was in all churches now, so they called it Protestants, you know. By the way, I'm not a Protestant, I'm a Baptist, amen. But they said in all the Protestant churches that less than 50% of the pastors believed in a literal devil. in the and that's an old survey. I'm sure it's less than that now. But the Bible is true of what it tells us about the devil. It tells us about his beginning. It tells us about his attack on God and his fall. It tells us about his attack on man. It tells us about the daily war that he has on us. Amen. And what I want to make clear to you today is that the devil is real. I tell you, the devil's upset. Listen, we started a little work over there with just a handful of folks. This past Sunday, we had 108 people. Two people walked down the old-fashioned walk down the aisle and called on Jesus and got saved. Don't you think the devil's mad? Amen. I told my wife when we left church, I said, we better get ready. Trouble's coming. We come back to church tonight. Somebody's probably going to be mad. They might vote us out tonight. Who knows? But the devil's going to be mad because souls got saved. Amen. And we need to understand that the devil is real and he's working all in our midst. Go back over to the book of Acts, if you would, please, and look at Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. I want to look down at verse 11. Acts chapter 19 and verse 11. And the Word of God says this: "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought into the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus. And fear fell on them, and the name fell on them all, and the name of the Lord was magnified." Listen, this is in the New Testament age. This is the book of Acts, amen. This is the church age, and there's demons and devils. And folks, in this evil world we live in today, how much more do you think is going on? Do you think these demons and devils have calmed down? Do you think they've gone away? Hey, listen, in the little town of Fremont where I pastor at, we got out and knocked on every door in town. We got out telling people about Jesus, and we ran into a Wicca witch right there in the little town of Fremont. Listen, we started having church, and God was blessing, and great things were going on. And I had this guy show up to church, and he had all these tattoos on him. He had a mohawk. And he came into church, and I went over and shook his hand. I made him feel welcome. I told him to come in. And he was the strangest fellow you ever wanted to meet in your life, you know. And then I started getting little notes slid under the door of the church saying, "He who crosses our father Satan shall pay the price." And the devil worshipers were attacking our church. Amen. And boy, I said, "We're doing something. The devil's mad." Amen. I said, "Praise God, something's going on." Amen. And so this guy kept coming to church, and I remember came to one midweek service, and I said, "You know, I about had enough of this stuff, you know." This guy comes, sits in the service. I preach my heart out, and he's sitting over there cheering the devil on, you know. And so I changed my message, and I just started preaching on the devil, and I started preaching on the blood of Jesus and how I know who's going to win in the end. And I'll tell you something, that old demon-possessed boy got to grunting, and you say, "You preacher, you're crazy. You should have been there. My wife was there," amen. And he got to grunting and squirming around, and I got to saying, "I know the devil's a loser. He's a liar. He's going to lose in the end," amen. And boy, I got to preaching full on. That boy was down in the altar, and he was crying and praying, and the God had got hold of his heart, amen. I'm telling you something, I know the devil's real. I've been fighting him, amen. I've been on the front lines, amen. I know he's out there, praise God. The devil's real. But with all that said, I want to tell you what the devil's doing, amen. Number one, the devil wants to incite men to evil. The devil wants to incite men to evil. Look over the book of John, if you would, please. John chapter 13 and verse 2. John chapter 13 and verse 2. "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." The devil having put into his heart. Listen, the devil is trying to put evil into the hearts of men. The devil is out to incite evil all around us. Amen. The devil will do all in his ability to promote evil and wickedness. He is the driving force
behind the sex-crazed society that we live in today. Amen. Listen, we're living in a world today that is eat up with sex. And I heard Brother Brown preaching last night and talking about that preacher that had Mona in his office. Folks, it's everywhere. It's all around us. This wickedness is everywhere. Loose morals in our midst today. Immodest dress in our society. It is all around us today. And listen, I understand this. I believe this with all my heart. Listen, God did not intend for men to lust after women. Amen. He makes that clear in the Bible. I could give you the verses and you know it. I'm preaching to preachers. But I'm going to tell you something else. God didn't intend for women to dress the way they're dressing nowadays. Amen. The devil is in the midst of all of that. Amen. I told our church one time, I said, don't you come to church like I see some of these folks come to church. I went to preach in a meeting one time. They had eight independent Baptist churches come together. They asked me to come preach a Thanksgiving service. I said, why they asked me, I don't know. And I said, you can't get eight independent Baptists together to eat a biscuit, amen? And so I went over to preach at the meeting, and I had this sweet message on a call to Thanksgiving, you know. And I had my everything all laid out. I was just going to be real sweet. And I got to this church, and I thought I was at a nightclub the way the folks were dressed, you know. And I told my wife, I said, this is going to be ugly. I now know what I'm doing here, amen. I didn't even ask to go to the study. I went to the bathroom and got in the stall and said, Lord, help me. I don't want to get in the flesh, but these folks need some preaching, amen. And so I got in the pulpit, and I started my little call to Thanksgiving, you know, and the message was real sweet, and I was being things that I was thankful for. And then the next thing I knew, I was saying, and I'll praise God that when I got saved, I got changed, amen. And I wasn't like I used to be, and I didn't dress like I used to. I didn't talk like I used to. And I got to preaching on all that immodest dress and all those kind of things that went on there, you know. I tell you, one of these ladies that came in there, she reminded me. Now, I don't watch a lot of television. I like old Western movie, you know, black and white old Western movie. You ever seen the cook wagon come? You know, the peddler's wagon, really, the one. He's coming up the path, and all his pots and pans are jingling and shining in the sun. I saw this lady came down the aisle, and I said, there comes the peddler. Everything was jingling and shaking and shining, you know, and she had done everything she could to draw attention. Let me tell you something. The devil is behind that, amen. And godly people ought not to present themselves that way, amen. They ought not to. The devil is in the midst of all of those kind of things. By the way, after I preached that night, half the crowd hit the altar, the half hit the highway, amen. They didn't even want to shake my hand. But the devil is in the midst of all those things. The devil is the driving force behind the sex crimes in our society today. Our children are being stolen right off the sidewalks. And our wives are afraid to go shopping because they're being abducted. Every time you turn on the news now, there's some man that's had women captured in his basement. And these kind of things are going. Folks, the devil is what driving force behind that. Amen. People say, how can somebody do such a thing is that you turn on the television and all these horrible things have happened, rape and incest and all these sexual sins, and you see these pedophiles that have harmed little children, and the devil is the driving force behind all those things. Amen. Listen, the devil is the driving force behind the sodomite movement today. Amen. The Bible still says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination, amen. And the devil is the driving force behind the sodomite movement today. Hey, listen, these folks are militant. These folks are fighting a battle, and folks are sitting back and saying, well, it's just an alternative lifestyle. It's not an alternative lifestyle. It's perversion is what it is, amen. Hey, I'll tell you this, it's perversion. And I'll preach this all the time. You know, we come into a crowd like this, and we'll preach to homosexuals, we'll preach against the sodomites, and folks will say amen. Y'all can say amen, it's all right. And we say amen, and then the preacher will turn to plow, and he'll start preaching on the crowd that's shacked up together and living in sin, amen. And it gets a little quiet. I know some preachers, they'll have folks singing in the choir, they'll have Sunday school teachers that are living together out of wedlock and all. And then they say, why don't we have any blessing in the house of God, amen. Why don't we have any more power in the house of God, amen. Listen, God's looking for clean vessels, amen. God's not going to use a trash can to get his work done, amen. And so we see these things go on. The devil is the driving force behind all of these things. I've said over and over again, many times I've preached from my pulpit, that any physical relationship outside of one man and one woman in holy matrimony, it is perversion, amen. You know, if you ever look up the word pervert, it means outside the norm, outside the plan, beyond the guidelines. God has given us the guidelines. Anything outside of those guidelines is perversion, amen. And I'll say this, the fornicators and the adulterers, they stand in line with the sodomites, equal of the same sin, amen. I'm preaching to the church. Now, there's preachers in here. Somebody ought to say amen right there. All right, I'm just checking to see if y'all still with me. Amen. Well, the devil is the driving force behind the alcohol and drug problem that we have in our society today. Amen. Hey, listen, the devil is trying to destroy people's minds. Have you ever been out? You know, I go out in some of these trailer parks. I've been out knocking on doors. And you ever tried to win a drunk person to the Lord? You ever tried to win somebody that's high on drugs to the Lord? And I'm praying, Lord, give them some clarity, clear their mind up for just a moment, Lord, so the gospel might sink in. And I've seen some of those things going on. The devil's using all these things to confuse people. And within the church today, it's amazing that people begin to say, well, you know, it's okay to just have a little drink. You know, people say, well, you know, the Bible says be not drunk. It doesn't say that we can't drink. You know, I hear that kind of garbage. Can I say garbage again? I hear that kind of garbage all the time. Turn back in the Old Testament. If you turn back to the book of Proverbs, chapter 20. You know, the Bible is the mind of God. Amen. The Old Testament is the mind of God. Proverbs chapter 20. And, you know, I go around and I hear some great messages. And I know that I'm no theologian, by the way. Amen. Now, y'all probably noticed that by now. But I don't know a whole lot. But, you know, I know that when this country was great and when souls were getting saved and churches were getting filled up, that we heard preachers preach on the kind of stuff that I'm preaching about. We heard preachers preach on alcohol. We heard people preach against homosexuality and those kind of things. And today, you know, we're all having prophecy conferences, you know. And we're digging into the deeper word, amen. And people will preach a lot of content, but they make no application to it. Folks, we need some application in the church again, amen. I tell you, we serve a holy God that hates sin, amen. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1. The word of God says this, wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Those people that say, well, I'm just taking a little drink, they're the ones that are deceived. Amen. I had a good friend of mine. Some of y'all know Evangelist Steve Goolsby. He's the first person ever. He read that verse and he says, you know what not wise is, don't you? That's stupid. He said, those people that are deceived by those things, they're stupid. And that's what it said. I mean, that's just putting it in layman's terms for you, amen? Proverbs chapter 23, look over there. Look at verse 29. And says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. I read that one time, and God said, those that tarry long, they're having more than one drink, preacher. He said, they're having more than one drink if they tarry long. I said, well, hang on. We'll get to you in a minute. You and your glass of wine with your steak. Hang on. It says in verse 31, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Now, you guys that are theologians, help me. That's talking about that fermented wine, isn't it? It's moveth aright. It's it says, look not thou upon it. We shouldn't even have a desire for it. We shouldn't even have a taste for it. Christians should not even have a desire. We should never allow that alcohol on our lips. Amen. That never, ever is there ever excuse for a saved individual to take a taste of alcohol. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil is using this stuff to destroy lives. And some of you looking at me like I'm crazy. I'll tell you a story. I live out in the country. I mean, I'm out in farm country. And right down the road from me is a guy that was a big farmer. And I had all the wealth that you could imagine. Had all the riches that you could imagine. Everything that the world could offer. Hey, listen, he was a deacon in his liberal church, you know. And they had all the modernistic religion and all these things that was going on. He and his wife had three children together. Just everything was wonderful. Highly respected family in the community. But every now and then they'd have a little get-together, a little social thing at the house. And they'd have a little drink, you know. And his wife, she kind of liked to drink a little bit more than some of the other guests. And one of the guests said, well, maybe you need something a little extra. And one of the guests that was there introduced her to some drugs. And before long, this woman that had all the wealth of the world, that had all the riches that we can imagine, her husband was a deacon in the church. She was faithful and served in their church. And before long, she was hooked on a drug. And the husband would come home and find the wife gone and leave three small children at home with things on the stove and odd things on. But she was gone to chase that drug that had got inside of her body. And the devil had got hold of her. And I honestly can witness that I saw this. Within a couple of years after all the beginning of that, I saw her walking the street working as a prostitute, selling her body for drugs. Her family has rescued her from the street and pulled her off the street from the drugs that she was abusing. And now they've got her on prescription drugs. And she has to stay so doped up that she don't know where she's at most of the time. And her parents lead her around like a little child. And listen, they were just having a little social drink. Hey, listen, they were just having a little fun. They were just having some friends over from the church. Just a little glass of wine, amen. Hey, the devil's behind all of that, amen. And the devil's the one that's destroying our families, amen. Hey, listen, I'll tell you this. The devil is the driving force behind sowing discord among the church. Sowing discord among the church, amen. Hey, listen, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he's a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour, amen? I don't know this to be the truth. I read behind men that are much smarter than me, and that's not hard, but I pick up a book and I read behind people that know so much, and one of these guys I was reading behind, he said this roaring lion that's walking about, he's on the hunt, and he's hungry, and that roaring lion, he roars out when he's on the hunt, and what he's looking for the weakest one in the crowd. He's looking for the young one in the herd. He's looking for the injured one along the way. And that's the one that he goes after because that's the easy kill. And I'll tell you something, preachers. The devil's looking in your flock, and he's looking for the weak one. He's looking for the easy one. He's looking for that one that he can get hold of, that he can plant a seed in and begin to stir something up in, amen? And he's starting to sow discord among the house of God, amen? Listen, the church is still God's plan for the earth today. The church is still God's plan to save men. Preaching is still God's plan, amen? And the devil knows it, and he wants to cripple it, amen? Hey, listen, the devil wants to destroy our churches today, and he puts his people in place in our churches to cause distractions and to get us where we're all busy putting out fires, and we're trying to keep everybody happy, and we're trying to hold the church together, and so then we don't have time to win anybody to Jesus because we're busy trying to hold everything together. We're running around with hammers and nails and glue trying to keep the thing patched up. And so we don't have time to tell people about Jesus. We don't have time for the things of God because we're busy doing first aid all the time. Listen, one of the problems is we got a whole church full of nursery kids. They're all crying. They all need to be changed. They all need to be doctored. Hey, some of them need to grow up. Some folks been saved for 20, 30, 40 years, and they're still a bunch of little babies. Amen. Hey, some of them need to grow up so the preacher doesn't have to tend the nursery all the time. Amen. We might be able to win somebody else to Jesus. I'll tell you one of the biggest things with discord in the church, and I believe this with all my heart. When I went over and started the church where I was at, there was an old brother, Mr. Dunn. Mr. Dunn was in his 80s, late 80s. He's a World War II veteran, and he had served and done so many things. He had taught Sunday school for years, and he had been faithful in the house of God. And he came and started visiting our church. And I'd go see Brother Dunn, and I'd sit with him and talk with him. And, you know, you can learn something from people that age, you know. And Brother Dunn said, I don't think I'll join you, church preacher, he says, because I've seen so many ugly things in church. He said, I just don't want to be involved in it again. He said, I've been a deacon. I've been a Sunday school superintendent. I've seen so much mess go on. He said, I just don't think at this age I can stomach it anymore. And I just said to Brother Dunn, and he says, you know, I've been in all these meetings, and we'd all be disagreed. He said, and we decided we're going to stop this meeting because we don't want to have a fight. So we're all going to go home and pray and ask for the will of God. He said, then we'd come back a few days later, and we had five different will of Gods, you know. He said, somebody didn't get it, you know. He said, God's got one will for this situation. Amen. And we come back in. He said, what happened is all these men came back in with their will or what their wives told them to say. Somebody say amen right there. And he said, these men come back in presenting that. And he said, nobody's willing to give in to the will of God. They want their way done. Amen. They want things done the way they want to. And we need some self-denial. We need to die the self, amen, in the church today. People say, well, just see what they did. They didn't do that the way I wanted to. I just didn't get done like I want. Boy, we just voted on some new tiling at the church. I went to the tile store to get the samples from the guy. I said, have you got something with this type tile on it that just got, you know, maybe 5 to 10 colors? All he had was a sample that had 40 colors. I said, that's about how many people I got, brother. Everybody can pick a different tile. We'll fight down the aisle over this thing, you know. I took back those 40 colors, and we put it out there, and I told everybody in the church, I said, vote on your color. I said, this is what we're going to do. Everybody vote, and then we're going to count the votes, and the top two will vote again. And if that's purple, we're putting it down. Don't matter. If y'all pick out purple tile, if that's what the number one vote is, that's what it is. Nobody can say I didn't get to say what I wanted to do. We voted, and we ended up picking out a beautiful beige. Amen? And but, you know, I'm just saying, that's the kind of stuff that the devil will use to get people stirred up. Somebody say, they didn't get my tile put down. But we're here for the glory of God. If there's anything we can do to help you, preacher, we will. Amen. You know? I pastored a church one time. I had this fella. He was always patting me on the back, wanting to take me out to eat and all that. I found out 2 months after I got there, he had a petition going around to get rid of me. Amen. Lord, help us, you know. And that's because some young man has showed up to church on Wednesday night with a pair of shorts on. He was a member of the church, sang in the choir. I said, we don't do that. If he's a visitor, didn't know any better, I'd let him get in and learn something, you know. This boy come in, and listen, the whole crowd got mad because I told him he couldn't wear his shorts to church on Wednesday night, amen. He wanted to come to church naked. Can I get an amen right there? We don't have that kind of stuff, amen. Hey, listen, the devil's behind all that stuff. The devil's inciting all of these problems, amen. It's a critical time for the church today, amen. Hey, listen, today the church is under pressure like never before. We got to lower our standards and change our music and do very little preaching. You go to churches and some of these places have 45 minutes of music and a skit, and then some guy stands up and gives a devotion and people go, praise God. You know, Lord help us, that ain't preaching. Amen. Hey, that's not preaching. That's not doing what God's ordained us to do. Amen. I'm telling you this. We got an old-fashioned Bible-believing church, and I do something different. Folks come to our church and visit, and I'll go visit them. And, they, you know, I've had some folks get astounded. They say, we never had anybody visit a preacher and say what you said, because I'll just go in there and say, look, we're an old-fashioned Bible-believing King James Bible church, and if you don't understand that, there's a lot of folks that don't. And we'd love to have y'all come be with us, amen. Maybe you ought to visit for a while and make sure you want to join. I said, we'd love to have you. I said, but don't expect us to change. Amen. And I'll tell them while I'm there in their house, I'll say, you know, we want you to come to our church if God wants you to come. I'd like for y'all to pray about where you ought to be. Amen. And if God wants you to be here, we want you. Amen. If God don't want you to be here, then praise the Lord, I sure don't want you. Amen. But that's, folks, I never heard it like, they said everybody comes in and tells us why we ought to be in there. But I'm tired of putting out fires, Brother Brown. I'm tired of having to have meetings. I'm tired of going to places seeing folks. I've been in churches, and when a preacher walks in, everybody, you know. I remember I was at a church, I was fixing to get kicked out, brother, and I did. But I was there, and I remember everybody there was having a meeting, but I won't in on none of them. Every little Sunday school, every place around the corner was having a meeting, you know. And the devil's the one that's behind all those things, amen. The devil's in the midst of all of that. The devil's going to oppose his people in every way. As the days are coming, hey, listen, the government is going to oppose God's people, amen. We're seeing more. The devil's in the midst of all of those things. Hey, listen, these preachers that are raising money for their jet airplanes and putting coffee shops in the church, you know. Do you think the devil might use that to try to take tax-exempt status away from the churches? You think you might see that coming? You think the devil might use things like that for the government to try to tell us what we can preach and what we can't preach? I mean, that stuff's already coming down the pipeline. It's in place in some places, amen. Listen, the devil is trying to, and I got to give you the rest of these quick, amen. The devil is trying to confuse people about what sin is. You know, the devil wants to, you know, people don't even understand what sin is anymore, amen. Hey, you preach on sin and folks go, amen, and they're doing it because they don't know what it is. You got to name it. You got to call it out, amen. I got news for you. I still like the Ten Commandments, by the way, amen. Listen, I know we're saved by grace, but somebody help me. Is it still the law that identifies sin for what it is? Is not sin the transgression of the law? Is that correct? Is that what the Bible teaches us today? I mean, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, amen. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Folks will look you in the face and lie to you. Amen. Listen, I know a guy right now, and he don't even make money. He'll lie all the time. I said, does it ever bother you? Have you ever thought you'd like to have some integrity? He says, no, not really. He's just as lost as a ball in high weeds, you know. I mean, he needs to get saved. But listen, today, saved people are carrying on and living that same way. Amen. The Bible still says, therefore, for him to know it to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Amen. But I preach that on Sunday morning, and I say, all you folks know you ought to be back to church on Sunday night, right? Nod your head. They nod their head. I say, so if you stay home tonight, therefore, to him to know it to do good and doeth it not, it is sin. Amen. So when they don't come back on Sunday night, they don't come back to midweek service, it is sin. Amen. When you don't read your Bible, when you don't pray, when you don't tell your neighbor about Jesus, amen, when you don't witness, it is sin. And the devil is trying to confuse us all about sin. Amen. The devil's doing a great job of confusing people about salvation. Look at all these denominations and strange churches and weird things we've got going on. Well, I tell you, the Bible still says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. Amen. Neither is there name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Amen. It's all about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Amen. Hey, listen, I love to get these folks in. I was in this auto shop one day, and this guy had all these gospel tracts up there on the counter, and I was talking to him. I said, well, obviously, you're saved. And he said, oh, yeah, praise the Lord. He said, he went to tell me about how many tracts he gives out of his business and all that. And we were talking about my church and all that stuff. And he says, well, you know, he said, man, he said, I just love Joel Osteen. Brother, we turned the page right then, you know. I said, now, you know what? I said, that man, I looked at him. I said, he is a tremendous motivational speaker. He said, you think so? I said, yeah, he's a great motivational speaker. I said, but he's not a preacher. He's not a preacher. I saw him on television, amen. And they asked him about some doctrine and sin and all that kind of stuff, you know. And they came right out and they asked him. They said, so are you saying that Jesus is requirement for salvation? That nobody's going to go to heaven unless they come to Jesus. You're Jesus of the Bible. He said, well, I really wouldn't want to say that. What? He said, it's not for me to decide. How can I take people that are, he said, how can I take people that are sincere in their religion and tell them they're not going to make it? Because the Bible says so, amen. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, amen. That's what the Bible says, amen. Hey, listen, if somebody's afraid to preach the Bible, don't let them in a pulpit, amen. I told our folks at our church, I said, listen, this is a church. Now we're going to preach the Bible. We're going to do, listen, if we got to make a decision, we're going to do it according to the Bible. If y'all want to vote on it and decide, you can go join the Ruiting Club. They'll cook chickens and have a lot of fun. But this is a church, amen. And we're going to do it according to the Bible, praise God. Hey, listen, the devil is the one that's exciting all these things, amen. The devil is the one that's stirring up all this modernistic church movement. Hey, listen, folks can fill up churches across our land today, and it doesn't mean anything for the glory of God because the kind of churches that they're filling up, there's no glory of God in there. There's nothing that lifts up the name of the Lord. Amen. Hey, listen, more than ever, we need old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing, King James, Bible churches more than ever. Amen. The only hope for this nation, the only way we can battle the devil is with old-fashioned preaching. Amen. The only way we can win the war is with the old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Hey, we need folks just like are in this place today to get stirred up and stand up for the glory of God. Amen. I told our folks, I said, I'll make some folks mad, but I'm going to preach and let God take care of the crowd. Amen. God didn't call me to be crowd control. He called me to be a preacher. Amen. I'll preach and let God take care of the crowd. Some of y'all are saying, I bet he ain't got 40 people. I do. That's it, though. Amen. But we're growing. Amen. We're not going backwards. We started a work. We're going forward. Amen. Listen, I have my midweek service on Thursday night. I preach almost every Wednesday night somewhere in somebody else's church. I have been in so many churches on Wednesday night where they're hanging on. I mean, they're just barely surviving. They don't have a preacher. Listen, I've preached in several churches. The preacher ran off with some woman in the church. I mean, somebody stole the money. I've preached in all kinds of places on those Wednesday nights and other special. I go in there and they're just all the pieces. Folks, we need some men of God that'll stand in the gap and fight the devil. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't come to do war, you signed up for the wrong army. Amen. Hey, the devil's mad. And I've got news for you. I hate the devil and so does the Lord. Amen. Hey, listen, the devil's real. He's trying to destroy our churches. Listen, the devil will do all he can to destroy our men of God, to discredit them. Hey, listen, I see it happening all the time. I had a man preach in my pulpit. I said, man, he's a gifted preacher. He's a tremendous man. He could sing and play and preach, and I fellowshiped with him. I preached in his church, and man, we were good friends. And the next thing I know, he had ran off with a woman in his church. Oh, Lord, it just breaks my heart. You see, the devil is so good at what he does. And I'll ask you this, until today, and I'm not tooting my own horn, I'm nobody, but when's the last time you heard somebody stand up and preach on the devil?
Amen.
And he's lulling us back to sleep. And those, the preachers, the men of God, we're falling victim. And the Bible tells us we know his devices. Amen. Hey, listen, we know these things. We're not ignorant of his devices. Listen, why do we give in to such things? Hey, listen, we're under so much pressure to fit in to the world today, to be acceptable to the things of the world. Lord, help us. May we stand for the glory of God. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you for the holy word of God. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach. Lord, I pray that you would take my encouragement to be a help to somebody here today. Lord, I didn't mean for it to sound bragging or anything. Lord, you know I'm just a humble servant of God. Lord, I pray you help us all. Lord, we all stand in the place, myself included. We're not immune to the devil, and he is after God's men. He is after us to destroy it. He's after the church. There's church members here, and Lord, they need to get their hearts right, so I'm going to stand with my pastor. I'll not be caught up in sowing discord. I'll not let the devil get in my heart and use me. I'll not be a tool of the devil. Help us all to make that pledge today. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.